does charismatic or Pentecostal mean? Are there any errors that could bring harm to people? Or are there things that are true and helpful for us? Well, this is an important question. Pentecostalism and charismatic Christianity are very active and they're growing very fast, particularly in the third world. Very broadly, charismatic Christians emphasize the dynamic nature of our relationship with God. They actively seek spiritual gifts, often miraculous ones, like healing, or maybe a word of knowledge, some insight that wouldn't be accessible through natural means. And we've got a lot to gain from these brothers and sisters. I think we need to share their belief that God can do the impossible. We need their zeal in prayer and in mission, that God can turn even the hardest of hearts towards him. Now sadly, sometimes their confidence in God doing the miraculous can tend towards a presumption. For example, that God must heal, or that he must speak to us audibly, regularly, even every day. And I'd say those things are rare, even in the Bible. Healing doesn't come every day. We don't hear God's voice audibly, regularly in our lives. Well, most of us don't, I don't think. And sometimes their delight in God, in worshipping with music, can get influenced by the worldly attitude of just enjoying a performance. I'm not saying that this is the basis of their theology. I'm just saying sometimes this is how it works in practice, that people come along to enjoy a performance rather than to experience mutual encouragement in which we all participate. That's what we should aim towards. And I know we fall far short of that at times. But if we were to aim to have a big band that's performing up front all the time, the temptation would be to say, great, I'm enjoying what you guys are doing, but I'm not part of it. And I think that's a danger to avoid. Now, Pentecostals actually share a lot in common with charismatics. They've got a common thread of history. But their additional distinctive is to say that God wants us to have a second blessing, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And many would say that that's evidenced by speaking in tongues. Now sadly, that belief tends to produce a two-tier Christianity. There's the top tier, those who reckon themselves to be doubly blessed and equipped because they can speak in tongues. They've got the second blessing, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And then there's the bottom tier, those who are kind of merely saved, not really very well equipped. Well, remember what happens in Acts 2. The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. And it's said that all God's people are equipped there to declare the wonders of God. They shall all prophesy. That's what's emphasized in Acts 2. And elsewhere in the Bible, Romans 8, it says, anybody who doesn't have the Spirit is not in Christ. The implication is, if you're a Christian, if you're in Christ, you have the Spirit. Put that together with Acts 2, you then have the equipping to declare the wonders of Christ, to share the gospel with others. That's the prime function of the Holy Spirit as we minister to this needy world. Now, where did they get this idea that you have to speak in tongues if you receive the Holy Spirit? Well, his presence was intentionally made obvious at key junctures in the book of Acts, where the gospel reached new horizons, new people groups. But I don't think that's normative. It's not the way the Holy Spirit will always evidence his presence in the life of somebody who comes to Christ. It was just for that particular juncture when the apostles particularly needed to see that, yes, even the Samaritans can trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Even the Gentiles. At those times, they would see them speaking in tongues, which is kind of a little mini Pentecost, an echo of what had happened to the apostles themselves. But it's very clear that gifts like speaking in tongues are not given to all Christians. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 29 to 31, Paul asks, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all have gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? And the implied answer each time is no.